Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Suddenly, all over the world, they will realize, well, there is a city called Charlotte in America, which has a fantastic stadium, which has great people and great soccer fans.
Charlotte Soccer Show, John Hayes, Danny Brams, welcome back to Decision Day Week. We're here. We're back. I'm excited to do another episode with you, Danny. It's a soccer city, and people are going to find out very quickly, Danny, where Charlotte is on the map.
Charlotte's on the international soccer stage now, thanks to Gianni Infantino and the Club World Cup. It's so funny, Johnny. We were just getting all our episode prep here to get sort of our bounce back episode. It's been a couple weeks since we've done one, just with schedules and the way they've worked. And we just started going through a bunch of old material, and that Infantino clip's been kind of sitting in our to-be-used bin. And today was the perfect day to bust it out because it's decision day. MLS is got the eyes of the world on it, I think, in some respects, with the final standings yet to be made before the MLS Cup playoffs start. And Infantino's moved on to much bigger and better things, you know. But we'll never forget that time he came to visit Charlotte and patronizingly told us all about our own soccer culture. It was great.
Leo Messi. Is trying to stamp his career with another championship. There's a lot on the line, not just for David Tepper, for Infantino, for the Club World Cup, for Decision Day. I mean, this storyline. I mean, right now it's fun to be finishing the season at this time because there's just so much going on in the world of soccer, in the global scope of the beautiful game. For example, yeah, I'm pumped about Ireland's win today over Armenia. The World Cup belief still there, the hope alive after cheers.
I'll crack one to that, Sláinte, you know, for sure. Cheers for you and Kevin Egan and all and the billions of Irishmen around the world and Irish women that love football. That's great to see.
A birth into the World Cup. The expanded field, right? The expanded field
bigger than ever.
It's bigger than ever. But
are they doing the first two play-in games for the World Cup in Dayton, Ohio? Kind of like the men's March Madness. Is that how that works? I'm not sure, but yeah.
The first four. That's right. Yeah. Yes, the first four. We have two people that we're going to talk about specifically on tonight's show when it comes to Charlotte FC.
There's only two that matter, Johnny.
The players here in town who we spent all season talking about the club. There's so much going on. not just in MLS. And I call out the time of the year, Danny, because like not just in soccer. I mentioned the World Cup qualifying matches that are happening. The Premier League is in full swing. The cup competitions, Champions League happening now. Leagues all over the world. A lot of the times when we're watching and talking about Charlotte FC over the last, let's call it 5 months, the MLS has been the only show in town, other than like the Club World Cup, for example.
And a few random friendlies, yeah.
So I think we got to just update people and let them know that there's two stars in town. There's a star in town for sure. Wilfred Zaha is here. He does play for the club, and he's the kind of guy that can maybe go on a run. But there's a young superstar budding who scored, what was it, a hat trick against Miami?
Yeah, take that, Messi. This is what a hat trick looks like. I mean, you've had a few of them, but here's one stuffed back in your face.
And Wilfred Zaha with two of the most clutch goals of the season as this club tries to secure a top four berth and earned home field advantage in the first round of the playoffs. Like, it's pretty clear to tell at this point where this club is and how 2025 is going to play out and who are the main characters.
Agreed, Johnny. And I think now's a good time, as good a time as any to pop up the league table and see where we're at here ahead of decision day in the MLS Eastern Conference. I've got a graphic made if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening on platform, on audio platform, just follow along. We see Charlotte in fourth place, sitting on 56 points, tied even with New York City on 56 points, same goal differential. Charlotte has the tiebreaker on total wins. That's kind of something that the Crown has had going for it. Is very unique to
MLS, by the way, where the tiebreaker is wins. It's typically goal difference.
Right.
How many goals you've scored and how many goals you've conceded. But in MLS, of course, MLS always has to be different. In MLS, it's the amount of wins that you have that is the tiebreaker on the table.
MLS loves to do its own thing. And, you know, as we're talking about this, Johnny, I just got to say, I have to sort of apologize here because I know that in the background people are listening to my cat who is very upset on the other side of my door here as I record at the home office. But
why don't you just let him in the room then?
I mean, we love crackers and all that. Maybe while this graphic's up, I'll get up and let him in the room while you talk for a second.
To me, it's important that we put the table up here. Because you can get insight into where the club basically is heading into the weekend. Because not only is home field advantage on the line, which I've already mentioned, what else is on the line is a trip to the CONCACAF Champions Cup, a big-time competition that this club has trying to qualify for the first time in history. That's something else that's on the line here. And those two things combined make Saturday's match against Philly the most important match of the year. And for Philadelphia is already the Supporters' Shield winner. Philadelphia is.
Yeah, they have nothing to play for when they come into Charlotte winner. On Saturday, which is great. They're locked into that number one seed in the
NFL. Are they going to rest their guys? Is this an opportunity for Charlotte maybe to get up 2-3-0 in the first half and call it a night and get that crucial 3 points to move on?
Well,
everything's at stake.
A win means everything for Charlotte and nothing for Philly. So it feels like a situation where we should go out and do exactly what you say, is get a few goals early and put it to bed.
We should for a second, as two people who have talked about this club for years at this point, who've followed how Charlotte FC has been able to basically launch as an expansion franchise and make an impact in MLS.
20 tours. We like to call ourselves 20 tours, you know?
I mean, it's pretty impressive where they sit on the table right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think of this is as good as we've ever been, right? We failed to secure home field advantage last year and it ended up costing us, I think, having to go to Orlando for that decisive game three. But now it's a matter of holding on to what we got, because Charlotte, as they sit in fourth here going into decision day, it's a very vulnerable fourth, because if they don't do what you and I are kind of hoping, that's no lock. Both of us have laid out a scenario where Charlotte can just take care of business against a Philly side that might run out a B side. But that's not how Philly rolls. Philly's not going to come in here and roll out a B-side. They may play with a little less bite, a little less edge to their game, knowing that they don't want to get hurt. But I don't see them coming in and play a bunch of subs because the playoffs start next week. It's not like you can just you may rest a guy or two, but I don't see Philly just like, you know, shutting it down. So I think they're going to be a tough opponent. Having said that, let's talk in terms of Charlotte getting the win, which we hope to see. They're going to need it because New York's coming for that fourth seed. Nashville's coming for that fourth seed. So, you know, Charlotte could slip all the way to sixth. Thankfully, they won't drop below seventh. If we end up tied with Orlando on 56 points, Orlando plays at Toronto on decision day, then we will have that wins tiebreaker. So we would stay out of we would stay into sixth place. Sixth is the lowest Charlotte can finish. They could theoretically slip to fifth or sixth, and then you don't know where Miami's going to end up or where Cincy's going to end up. So you can't really like, there's no pick your matchup scenario really that you can do here, but you can hope for the best. We can talk about who you'd like to see. Right now, Columbus and Chicago are in the play-in game. They could jump up out of that play-in game based on their results. Columbus is hosting the Red Bulls, who were eliminated. Chicago is at New England, who's one of the worst teams in the East. So Orlando facing Toronto, you know, all those teams probably look good to win. But the Nashville-Miami game is a good one. Miami can sort of help us out in this case by going in to beat Nashville. That's kind of a bit of a budding rivalry with their Leagues Cup and Open Cup showdowns that they've had in the last recent in the Messi era. So it's almost impossible to project because the final result of what this table is going to look like depends on so many different variables, Johnny. But the take care of business and you're hosting a playoff game. It's as simple as that.
It's an exciting table. The only thing that would make it more exciting is if Philadelphia maybe had one or two less points, and
if they had precisely two less points that they had lost in Philadelphia at Subaru Park on a cold night in Hershey, where you and I were sitting right behind the bench with your dad. So yeah, that would have been great. Yeah,
not quite Hershey, but same state.
Chester. Sorry, Hershey, Chester. What, you know, whatever. It's all the same. You know, my heart's in Delco. My heart's in Delco, and then everywhere else is just Pennsylvania. So
Me too. This is the man that I really want to have a conversation about tonight on the show, and it's somebody who popped up on an afternoon. Shadows, bright sky in our nation's capital. It was Wilfred Zaha who scored what is now probably the most clutch goal of the season. A one touch finish. It's a really nice goal, Danny, for Zaha here. And this momentum at the end of the season, look at this well worked set piece. Very, very, very well done. And
shout out Niko Pekovic, you know, a nice little layoff assist while he's falling down.
Yeah, it's like basically hold up play within the opponent's 18-yard box. That's how you do it. You have to feed your stars, the players with class, have them take the shots inside the 18. And that's a really good call out for Pekovic making an impact. Who would have thought at this point in the season he's on the pitch making an impact? And that's a good thing.
Yeah, suspensions for Westwood, Bronico. He needed to step in that spot because if Charlotte doesn't get those 3 points at DC, it was a horrible team. They're not in this position to be in fourth and hold on to a playoff spot on decision day.
And this was after Zaha against Montreal as well. Got on the score sheet. He's not afraid to get on the ball at this point. He's very comfortable making moves and clearly finishing as well. He's a player that's super hot right now, a player that might be peaking at the right time for Charlotte FC. And it's hard not to get excited about the possibility of Wilfred Zaha. If Charlotte FC can get the right draw and play at home and he can score goals in the MLS playoffs, you never know what the opportunity is for this team, because weeks ago we talked about, I did an episode of Decoding the Presser. I did it with Dean Smith when Charlotte had a chance to compete for MLS Cup, and they lost the next match or drew the next match. I forget exactly what happened. I think it was a loss at home, Danny. Was it not?
Was it before the Montreal? Was it before the New York City? I'm drawing a blank too. Forgive me, but I do remember listening to the episode.
No, it's okay. It was either before New York or Montreal.
It was
probably New York.
Okay.
Or it might have been Montreal as well. Either way, the point was is like they were squarely in the race for the supporter shield. It was New York City.
Yeah, it was. Because then we did the Kaylin Kyle a couple days later. Coming back to me now. You know, the mountain candies are swimming my memories around a little bit.
So at that time, the club was in the race for the supporter shield.
Yeah, at that point, if they were to win out, they could have looked to be getting the supporter shield. If they had six more points on this table from wins against Montreal and New York City, then they would be right there. You know, they would be sitting on 62, and well, I guess they wouldn't have a chance to catch Philly. But then who knows what would have happened? But they would be in a much better position to be hosting a better match and certainly more in position for that CONCACAF Champions League, Johnny, which I want to talk to you about as well, because we're daring to dream
I mentioned it when you got up that this is the other part of the high stakes on Saturday night at the Keep. Champions Cup qualification. Like, look at this graphic. It's crazy. It might take a couple things to break Charlotte FC's way, but.
Well, there's eight of 10 spots. There's 10 MLS spots in CONCACAF Champions Cup. Well, 7 plus Leagues Cup, and MLS got all 3 Leagues Cup. So that makes 10, let's say. So they're guaranteed 7, and they got 3 bonus ones from Leagues Cup. So Vancouver is in on the Canadian Championship. Nashville's in from winning the US Open Cup. Philly's in for winning the Supporter Shield. I've got San Diego here as my opposite conference winner slot because they currently are first in the West. They could get passed on decision day. We haven't really broken down the West race, but first place in the West is up for grabs, so that's a spot. I've got San Diego penciled in there for now. And then Cincinnati's is clinched on 62 points. So we would be ahead of – if we had had those two wins against Montreal and New York City, then we'd be right there. We'd be ahead of, we'd be in that spot that says Cincinnati is next best club locked in. But there are 2 spots left, and there's 3 teams. If you look, it's a little bit tough to read this graphic at the bottom where the table is, but Los Angeles FC, Minnesota United, and Charlotte FC, 3 teams for 2 spots that are left right now. If LAFC loses and Minnesota draws or loses on decision day and Charlotte beats Philadelphia, we jump both of those guys on 59 points and the win overall wins tiebreaker over LAFC. If Minnesota wins and LAFC loses, then they jump them and clinch it. If Charlotte FC passes only Minnesota, though, Johnny, and only let's say we only pass one of the teams. Let's say Minnesota wins, but LAFC loses. Charlotte wins and jumps LAFC on this standing. Then we would hope that the champion slot that's blank on the graphic gets taken up by a team that's already qualified, which would then get us into the next best club, even at 7th in the overall league table. Right now, we need to get into 6th in the overall league table to clinch the spot. But if the champion is someone who's already clinched a spot, then that opens up 7th place in the overall league table. Is that it becomes that final next best club to go in. If any of that, hopefully all of that tracks.
This is the first foray in the club's history to be in a position like this.
To be playing in theory for a spot with a little bit of help playing for a spot in this. It's crazy.
The real shame is that they were playing for a spot in this. In those 2 losses
against Montreal, at home. And Zaha, like you showed the Zaha goal, Johnny, and I wanted to say, and we'll come back to this table in a second, but I just wanted to say, like, Zaha, it's tough when someone gets a red card. It's, you know, and Adelson Milanda got a red. Like, think about that moment because we were at the game. We were in the supporter section, John. You came over from your normal seats and were hanging out in the supporter section. We were there. Kevin was there. Lev Up Luke was there. Keith was there. Tracy was there. And it was like, We were having the greatest time. We had been living it up at the pregame. Hot Fly was hopping. We had a great walk down the Mint Street to the stadium. We were in there. It was so fun. And Zaha scores 10 minutes in, and the crowd is going nuts. And I was a little tipsy. You know, the IPAs had me hazy. And I was it was the best time. And then all of a sudden, Milanda red card. Deonny subs out. We're playing – park the bus defense, and we're looking at the prospect of playing park the bus defense for 75 minutes, and that's nothing to look forward to. And then they score on kind of a BS goal, and then they score another one. And it was just like, how did this all come crashing down? And it's so brutal when you point out that true fact, which is that was the game that really would have, you know, the New York one too, we would have needed those points. But if we have those 3 points, even if we're tied at 59 right now going into decision day with LAFC, then we just win with our win. We hold them off with our win and their draw, which, you know, LAFC plays at Colorado, I believe, on Saturday. So that's not a great matchup. It's probably one they should expect to win with Sun and Buonga, like, in fine form. But yeah, like you said, Johnny, we are playing for it on Saturday decision day, but we were playing for it the last few weeks, and it's unfortunate that they didn't get business done against a couple of poor teams.
The one outlier on that graphic is LA Galaxy, the third place finisher in the league's cup.
I know.
What a sneak job by the Galaxy there.
Right.
The fact that the Galaxy are qualified for qualification right now and LAFC is not is just goes to show how crazy this sport is and how you have to take advantage of your opportunities when they present themselves, and why cup competitions are just as important as league competitions. Year to year, you need to balance where your opportunities are. And this is the perfect example of how at the end of the season, Charlotte could be qualified for this right now. The crown has had plenty of opportunity.
We could have that Cincinnati spot, because should be ours on a 20 wins to 19 wins tiebreaker, but we couldn't beat NYC in stupid Yankee Stadium. And then we fell apart, as I just described, after that latest moment of the fall that Zaha had given us originally with that goal that you showed.
The other player we
need
to talk
about. What are you going to do, Johnny? What are you going to do? You know, yeah, just take them as they come.
The other player we need to talk about is Edan Toklamadi. Mm-hmm. He's somebody who is right now. This video is my favorite, because who would have thought Edan Toklamadi would be cashing in, and this is what would be one of the last moments of Busquets' career. A penalty given up. Edan Toklamadi cashing it in, earning his hat trick against.
I want you to show that one more time, because I want you to show it, and then I want you. I forget if we can pause the videos when they're loaded up like this, but look at him right before, right here, Edan. Edan, he looks at Zaha like that. He checks with Zaha right before his run up, and where I just love that little moment. It's so good. It's so good.
And he says it there during the he says left. He told him to go left. Edan Toklamadi is he a budding superstar? Is he somebody who is about to take the MLS playoffs by storm, just like he took the MLS regular season by storm in the final 20%, 15% of the season? Replacement for Patrick Ajimong, who went on an unbelievable run of scoring goals. He's a real threat right now if you look at it. What can Toklamadi do in the playoffs, Danny? Do you trust him? Do you think he can get the job done on the big stage?
I'd like to think so, because, you know, we just showed the penalty that sealed the hat trick, but we can also show, you know, his first two goals in this match that set him up to get the hat trick against Miami. This is about as big a stage as it gets in a spot where this was a history game, as if you will, because this is how we tied the record. This was the ninth win in a row for Charlotte. You're facing Messi in your house. I mean, that feels like a pretty big stage to me. With history on the line, like I said. And even though these are sort of poacher's goals, these are kind of tap-ins, these are like just getting on the end of nice moves, that's a pretty nice finish. Like, that's a very accurate finish where only where he put it where the keeper couldn't get it, you know, running at full steam, first touch. That was not exactly a tap-in. I mean, it looks like kind of like a tap-in, but you watch that closely, especially that last angle. That's no tap in at all. And then, you know, later in that same match on his second one, interplay with Zaha, that great run. We've seen that run other times in the season, and Bronico just crosses it to a spot and Edan is there. The fact that his teammates, a guy like Wilf and Bronny, can trust Edan to just like put the ball in a spot and know he'll be there. That speaks to his ability to handle things on the big stage. And he's just a fearless kid. He's in that beautiful spot, Johnny. We've all been there. We've all been teenagers and early 20s before, where you don't know what you don't know, and you just go and you do it. And it's sometimes that doesn't always work to your favor, but I think in this spot with the veteran teammates around him, it's exactly the headspace Edon Tocamonte needs to be in for these playoffs.
I have a big question mark. I mean, it's not necessarily doubts. It's not that I have doubts. I just haven't seen it, so I want to see it. I want to see it happen in the playoffs. I'm excited to see these two players work together. Wilfred Zaha and Edon Tocamonte are two players that are going to take Charlotte FC as far as they can. Obviously, Dean Smith is somebody.
It says it on the graphic, John. We'll go as far as those two take us, because there's no Pep Biel. And the other guy, the supporting cast is important, but these are the guys that are going to be counted on to put the ball in the back of the net. And Kerwin Vargas, we'd love to see it from him too, but it's all about these two guys for me.
And I would even take assists as well.
Sure. Like exactly.
Because these players can create goals as well. Mm-hmm. Wilfred Zaha, a beautiful chipped ball. Was it the Bram Bronico goal versus New England? This cheeky right-footed ball into the box that sets up Brant Bronico to take the lead.
There's so much class
in New England, you know. So he's somebody that can do that as well. The assists matter, and we'll see what happens. This is really an opportunity for Charlotte FC to put its to do this.
And suddenly the world, because these teams have like Real Madrid, has 1 billion fans all over the world. Suddenly, all over the world. Well, they will realize, well, there is a city called Charlotte in America, which has a fantastic stadium, which has great people and great soccer fans.
Every time you play it, I love it more. And I love it. He's like, there's a city called Charlotte in America. It's so great, you know? Oh, so good. Fievel goes west.
So it's absolutely a fun week here on the show. It's good to be back. It's good to be hanging out with you, Danny. And I think you can expect us to get to extra time, to the playoffs. We'll be able to go the full 90 here on Charlotte Soccer Show and get to the end of this season and have coverage for you. The TIFOs are tremendous friends of the show. It's been a long season. MLS is an absolute grind, Danny, and we are here and excited for the finale.
It's been a hell of a long season, Johnny. Our coverage, I think, has made me proud all year for sure. There's been a lot going on. There always is. You really got into a brand new job in earnest. I had all kinds of things going on in my personal life, ups and downs, and we got through it and shined. I would say, you know, there's times when maybe the show coverage has been a little sporadic, and I do apologize to the people that love to listen to us for that, but I'll just say that's kind of the way it goes when we just do this for fun. Neither of us is making money off of this, so it's kind of like we do it when we can. I still think we put out a product to be proud of. And I'll just say, when people say, oh, you know what, where's an episode? We want to hear from you guys, stuff like that. That we appreciate that, because that just makes us that's what we get paid in. We get paid in compliments and the shout outs that like people like give us at the bar, that someone sees a hot fly, like, oh, it's John and Danny, you know, like that's all we get. So that's all we need, you know. I mean, it might as well be. But I am very much with you in terms of, let's go all the way. Let's go the full 90. It's year four. Charlotte FC's poised better than it's ever been. We've never been sitting fourth in the table going into decision day. And we've never been sitting where a win and one little bit of help will get us into CONCACAF Champions Cup. These are unprecedented times for Charlotte FC. So we should definitely be enjoying it. I can't wait for these playoff matches. I think the city's going to be insane. I think there's so much good. And yeah, Zaha and Tocamonte are those guys. They're that one, if you will. I don't know. I'm just hyped up. You know, we talk about how important is it to be in home field and playoffs. I think it's everything. You know, I think that this match against Philadelphia it's nice to have the safety net of like, hey, if you lose, you're still in the first round of playoffs. You're going to have maybe you have to go on the road in a three match series more often. But I want to win. I want to have that home field. If it comes most, if I'm not mistaken, check me on this. Everyone can fact check me on this. I think there were, you know, some tight matchups, and most of the series is that went to three matches last year, the home team won. I think Charlotte was the only one that threatened to win on the road. I could be mistaken about that, so you can double check me. But whether that's true or not, it doesn't change the fact that home field is very important. So I think it's got to be a go out and win. And like I said, we can't take Philadelphia lightly. I think Philly's going out there. Philly plays to a standard, so it doesn't matter if they've already clinched Supporter Shield. They might rest some guys just for rest, but they're not going to rest their whole 11. It's not like they're not going to put George Marks in goal.
It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter. Yeah, you have to get 3 points. So yeah. It's just they can roll out their A squad or their D squad. It doesn't matter to me.
Right.
The crown.
They can send Saquon Barkley and 10 kindergartners out to the field and put them in union uniforms, and that's who we're going to have to beat. You know. So yeah.
But one thing's for sure is that Dean Smith is going to have to roll out his best available 11
mm-hmm.
In this match to set the tone for what happens in the next month here to close the MLS season. Yep. And to close the show, I have one big question for you. I have one big question for you, Danny, and it's, which is the better league?
I think a team, I think, you know, the Championship is not too much different from the other. This is a major league over here. Are you going to a second league in the UK?
Over the head of Manning, who stretched for it. And actually got a touch to it. And while he remonstrates, Vyman will charge forward. Andres Vyman's ball into a dangerous area. And Jumang! It's one apiece. It is no more, perhaps, than Derby County deserve. And it's a big goal for him, of course, as well.
Patrick Ostermong, he makes his full debut for Derby County, and he gets the goal. And as this, I wanted to bring that up specifically because as these playoffs begin, as Decision Day 2025 is upon us, it would be nice to have Patrick Ostermong in the 11. But it's also great to see his success, and I think it's always been about Patrick Ostermong, Danny, like wishing him well and wanting him to have success because he's a good player. He was a really good person at the club. But now it's starting to make Charlotte FC look good.
Yeah. Well, hey, suddenly fans around the world have become aware of a town called Charlotte in America. You know, it's with a great stadium and great soccer fans, Johnny. And
the world. Because these teams have, like Real Madrid, has 1 billion fans all over the world. Suddenly, all over the world, well, they will realize, well, there is a city called Charlotte in America, which has a fun
city called Charlotte. Yeah. I mean, there's so much, Johnny. I mean, first off, let's go back to the quick Dean Smith bite that you teed the Ostermong goal up, where he's like saying, oh, well, this is a major league and that's a second division. So it's like, you know, I feel like maybe we're a little better. That's a quote from when the Ostermong sale first happened. And yeah. we know for a fact, as much as I love you, Dino, and it's all good. We know for a fact that if you were the coach of Derby County and your starting striker had been sold to Charlotte FC in America, you would say, well, you know, I think the English third division is probably comparable to the whatever they're doing over there in America. You know, you totally flip it. So we know that's true. As for the goal itself, I'm used to seeing teams against in MLS, like throw the ball in and then 2 touches later they've scored. But that usually happens against us, right? That's what Sporting KC and Philadelphia Union did to us, I think, unfortunately. So it was a beautiful goal by Patrick. I rarely saw him score headed goals when he was in MLS, although he did have, the flick-on header against Seattle. For his headed goals for his debut in both leagues is kind of nice, his debut goals in MLS and the championship. But it's real nice, and we love to see Patrick going. And the funny thing is, Johnny, you talk about the one thing we have not had to deal with with Patrick leaving is it's all been good because it's like, we love Patrick. Patrick's doing well in his new place, and the replacement is banging in the goals. Like, no problem. But let's say Edon doesn't score. Let's say Edon turns in a total duck, and we go boom, boom, to and through barbecue, and Edon Toklamadi makes an absolute mess of himself on that big stage where I think he's going to shine, but you will add a little more skepticism, which is certainly reasonable. Let's say that happens. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, man, I wish we had Pat. Then the conversation comes – all those memories about like, oh man, Pat would have been scoring in these playoffs, you know, stuff like that. So it's going to be really interesting. Hopefully we don't have to have that conversation. I'm just saying it's in the ether.
It's kind of like, you know, the Marvel movies where it's like different timelines are splitting, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The timeline is fracturing. Are we on the sacred timeline or are we one of those branches that's getting pruned? You know, we don't know. So,
yeah. Pat is on a different timeline now, and I'm excited to potentially see what happens on Saturday. The international break is over. Pat will start the day, maybe in the starting lineup for Derby County against Oxford on the road on Saturday morning.
Now, Johnny, don't you fret. Don't you worry. Because we got another international break coming up in just 3.5 short weeks. Don't even worry about it at all. In the middle of the MLS playoffs, they take another international break after the first round. So,
well, it's easier. it's an easier pill to swallow when there's actual World Cup qualifying and meaningful matches during the international breaks.
Shout out Cape Verde.
Cape Verde, a lot of great storylines out there, and it's definitely a deep cut. If you're a big soccer fan. These World Cup qualifying matches are deep cuts. It's so meaningful to qualify for the competition, and there's extra spots available like we've talked about. So do us a favor. Hit us up on our social channels. I'm at For the Crown Baby on X. Make sure to leave a review on the podcast feed. Tell us what you want for 2026. We're gonna continue to do content for sure, and I'm excited to do that. I just right now the focus is – hey, let's see what the hell happens here in the fall. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get to the end of the season and start thinking about the future, but right now it's there's history that could be made here in town. And we talked about Charlotte FC and the Panthers potentially having a good fall, and we'll see what happens in town, Danny. It's a soccer city, it's.
We put the stake in the ground. Charlotte is a soccer city.
As a soccer city, so we...
Charlotte is most definitely a soccer city. Charlotte, which is has become as well a great soccer city.
Shout out Z-Man Prost. If you know, you know. I know you're listening, Zoran, and it was good to see you recently.
Thanks for having fun with us on the show. These moments in town, it's easy to forget that they've happened, Danny. You know, we've lived through all of this, and you've done such a great job of covering soccer in this city. The Carolina Ascent are back on the pitch.
Can't wait to get to some games. Yeah, this winter. Spring.
So it's a great opportunity to continue the soccer coverage here in town. If you're interested in the Carolina Ascent, I would encourage you to get over to Elizabeth. It's been a while since I've been to Elizabeth, but I got to get over there. Here in the next couple months for sure. Before
People's Market, you gotta go.
26, yes.
Hangover Burger, let's fucking get it.
Until next time, Danny, it's great to see you. It's great to chat with you. Hope everybody has a great time at the Keep this weekend. Charlotte FC maybe gets a result, and maybe the club makes history. Until next time,
keep pounding for the crown, baby.